Gulf War. I remember this. I don't remember the story, but I remember the guy. Because the Gulf War is before my time in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gulf War was probably in like 19... Your father was here in the Gulf War?
Was here.
He was here, but he was probably that first year or something. Right? It had to be his first year then, right?
He said he went home because of it.
Second year? I was about 5 years before the Gulf War, right? And I just remember the story is great. There was a guy that was wearing, they told the people that the mask, for the gas mask, doesn't work if you have a beard. That was going around. You know, in those days, you know, today's vaccines, in those days, the beard is going to block the... So when the first siren went, this guy, he used to sit next to me when I came to Eretz Yisrael, right? So he always had it was interesting. He had not such a big beard, and he was an older person, but, you know, sometimes you chop, it's a guy that doesn't... So it looked like Nebuch, you know, something, his beard, it looked like it was growing back, let's put it like that, right? So one time he told me the story. I ate by him. I was a bacher one time, so he told me a story. The story was like this. He said that when the siren went off, so he was convinced, like, you know, he heard all this, right, that the mask doesn't work, and he figured tomorrow he's going to come into shul, and obviously everybody will have shaven their beard, right? So he took his 60-year-old beard, right, 60-year-old, right, shaved off the 60-year-old beard to put on the mask. He comes into shul the next day. Right? He told me that, like, you know, when he learns, like, Parshas Metzora and whatever, and how the guy has to shave off his beard and his eyebrows and the eyelashes, lach, and all those things, he says, like, now he understands. Hey, what happened, man? You know, he gave it to... So until the tale comes in, you know. All right, so...
I just have a quick question before the story, though.
Yeah?
What's, like, the Spitz example of Shlomo Melech being the genius, like, the base in the world?
Yeah, so the Shaila is, what in the world is Pshat in that story, right? It's the strangest story in the world.
Which story?
The story that he told them, cut the baby in half.
Okay, that's one, yeah.
But that's like a little bit strange, the story, right? I mean, you know, where's the wisdom in that?
He could do it like you.
Couldn't he do it?
Where's the wisdom?
You mean psychology.
But it's still, it's too extreme. It's too extreme. I'm saying, forgetting even, let's say in those days they didn't know from reverse psychology, right? But it's just too extreme. Yeah, cut the baby in half. It's a bit too, like, there's something strange about the story, right? It's a pella. The Gemara says something, but it doesn't help so much. The Gemara says that what was the story? The story was that, what's the story behind the story, right? Again, the two girls came. Is it my baby? Is it her baby? And then Shlomo Melech said, cut the baby in half. And then Shlomo Melech said, oh, that's the real mother. You know, the one that said not to cut the baby in half. Like, you know, it's a bit of a pella. So that was the real story. So the real story was, it doesn't help so much for the extremity, but the Gemara in Yevamah says that the story was that there was a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, okay? But there was a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And what happened was, the daughter-in-law's husband died, okay? The daughter-in-law's husband died. You got to follow the Yevamah, sir. The daughter-in-law's husband died. It gets her son died, the mother's son died. And the mother... And the daughter, the mother-in-law and the daughter were both pregnant, the Gemara says. And now, so what happened was, one of the babies died upon birth. And it wasn't clear which one, the mother-in-law's baby had died or the daughter-in-law. They lived in the same house, it wasn't clear. Now, if her baby died, the daughter-in-law, so now she's zakik to Yivam, because the mother-in-law just had a baby. And she's going to have to wait 15 years till this child grows up. Because she also, number one, doesn't have a child, and number two, the mother just had a child. So she's stuck in the shackles of Yivam. So she was the liar. The daughter-in-law was the liar. Really what had happened was her baby had died. Okay, but she wanted to say that, no, when her baby died, the mother-in-law's baby died. And now, first of all, I have a child, and there's nobody to do Yivam with anyway, so Mamela, I'm free. So what happened? When Shlomo Melech said, okay, I don't know who the baby is, so let's just kill the baby. So she right away said, okay, kill the baby, right? Because that's what she's going for. She doesn't care as long as she doesn't have to do Yivam. Now, that takes a little bit away from my question. Now, I'll explain why. What was my question? My question is Meshuggah? Cut the baby, kill the baby, right? Let me tell you a story. The Gemara says a story about Yashka, right? Gemara says a story about Yashka. And everyone knows the story about Yashka. So it's a machlekes, Reb Shua ben Prachya. The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down that Reb Shua ben Prachya had a Talmud, Yashka. Right? And Yashka was one day, they came to a certain innkeeper, And, you know, the innkeeper was a woman, and she was very, very friendly and very, very nice and very, very helpful to Yeshua ben Prachya. So Yeshua ben Prachya said to Yashka, who was at that time, you know, Yeshua ben Prachya's Talmud, right? So he said to, he turned to Yashka and he said to him, you know, Yashki, this mamish, she's very yafe. Yafe, what's the word yafe mean?
Beautiful.
What does it mean? It means a lot of things, right? It could be beautiful. It could be she's very nice. She's nice on huggers and whatever. So Yashka turns to Yeshua ben Prachya and he says, "Nah, she doesn't have such nice eyes." This is all in the Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think it was Kuf Zayin. The Gemara says, "Nah, she doesn't have such nice eyes." When Rav Yeshua ben Prachya heard that, he immediately put him into Cheru. Right? Like, he obviously didn't mean how she looked. And Yashka immediately said, "Yeah, she doesn't have such nice eyes." Like a weird thing to say, right? A little bit socially well, right? So he put into Chayyim. The Gemara says that he kept coming back and trying to do tshuva. And Basayif, on the day that Yeshua ben Prachya was willing to accept him back, so Yashka already had enough, and he went off and was Matiach Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara learns out from there that you have to be mid Makariv, you know, with your right hand, your better hand, you have to bring closer, and with your small, your doicha. When you want to push somebody away, don't push too hard, because otherwise you get a Yashka, right? I always ask, what's the pshat in this Gemara? Right? Imagine you're walking with, you know, you're not walking just with, you know, me. You're walking with like a tzaddik, you're walking with Rashiva, right? And you're walking down the street. You know, I'm saying not just a regular Rav. You're walking with Mamish, a tzaddik, and a Rav, and a Gadol, and a Talmud Chacham, and a Rosh Hashiva, this, that. And the Rav says to you, you know, she's really nice. Right? Is there anybody in this room that would say, like, no, she doesn't have such nice eyes? It's crazy. It's absolutely push. It's crazy. What you know, you understand, you should have been Prachy. Like, what? But you have another question. How in the world did Yashka do this? Right? What the world was going in his mind? How in the world did he say those words to a Gadol? It's a Gadol Kasha? You know what the answer is? The answer is when it's so ingrained in you, it's a reaction sometimes. It's so ingrained in you because that's what he's thinking the whole time. Every time he looks at a girl, that's what he's thinking, right? That you know, she has nice eyes or she doesn't have nice eyes. That's what he's thinking. So the second he by the Goyim it's called a Freudian slip. It's a Freud, you know. But you don't have to go all the way to Freud for this, right? But it's so ingrained in him that without even thinking, so when the person says, you know, she's really nice, but now she doesn't have such nice eyes. You know, I can't believe I said that, right? You know, I had a bucker one time who was driving with me, and he was telling me his, like, a problem, or whatever. He had a problem with his parents, right? And in the middle of the conversation, right, he cursed. He didn't even know what to do with himself. It wasn't like stomach curse, it was like a schmacker, you know, like, not like four letters, like 13 or 14, you know, right? And it was like, he didn't even know what to do with himself, but because it was like, it was so, you know, he told me afterward that that's it, he's, you know, he that's it, now he's swearing it off, right? That's it. Because if he realized that it was so ingrained in him, that even when he's on guard, the second the guard comes down a little bit, it comes out. He was so embarrassed that it came out. That you know, I don't even know what the word was, you know, because I was always giving chizik to the Bokhrim and things like that. I don't know, but you know, I imagine it was like, you know, maybe like a really bad word, like you know, somebody once, Rapam once gave a shmuz about not saying certain words, and you know, there's certain words of Ben Torah shouldn't say and whatever and that. So I heard the story from Rabbi Reisman from Flatbush, my parents' rav. And he said, so afterward, the Bachram didn't know, like, what to do, what words he's talking about. You know, there are some Rebbeim that say H-E-L-L, you know, I don't say it, but, you know, there are some. Rav Gifter, I think, said it, right, you know. You know, there's a famous story of Rav Gifter. He was on the airplane, and there were two nuns in front of him, and they're talking, or priests, or whatever, and they're talking about the Jews, and this, the Jews and the problem, and this and that. He said, why don't you go to H-E-L-L? There's no Jews there. So there were Rebbeim. We did have Rebbeim that said these words, but they weren't sure which word Rapam is talking about. Maybe that word, maybe a different word. They were, you know, maybe like stupid. Like, you know, which word. So afterward, they like nominated him to go over to Rabbi Reisman and ask him which word, right? They said, what word, you know. So he said, you know, like, you know, looked around, fress. What's wrong with fress? So you know, there's different levels of this, right? But this person, his reaction, his normal talk was that. So the same thing with Yashka. Now you don't have a kasha anymore. How in the world did Yashka say this? Because that's what he thinks about, so it comes out. It's in his bloodstream. So then, that's the same thing with this girl. That's the same thing with Shlaima Melech. She has one mindset. Her mindset is one thing. You know, by Akedas Yitzchak, it's the same thing. The Mefarshim explained already. Avraham Avinu is going with Yitzchak. He doesn't tell him where we're going. Where are we going? Tiul. Yeah. Fragments. Six legs. Okay? Five legs, actually. Where we go? Kitzer, on the way, finally, Yitzchak says to him, Ta, where's the goat? Where's the goat? Right, where's the goat? So he says, Akash Baruch Hu will show us the goat. Hashem will show us the goat. And the Rabban says, at that point, is when he told him, you're the Korban. You're the Korban. And then, no more questions, and he just goes weiter. At that point, we should have heard like, or gulp, or something, or Baruch Hashem, or whatever, right? So the Mefarshim explained like this. The Rabban says that when a person comes to bring a Korban, so he, when you bring a Korban, you're supposed to, the whole time the Rabban says, you're supposed to think it should be me, it should be my blood that's spilled, and it should be my fats that are going, and this is a kapara instead of what I did with my eyes, and with my lave, and with my this. So this instead, it's me. So here's Yitzchak, he's a Talmud of the Rabban, and Yitzchak the whole entire time is thinking one thing when he's bringing this Korban. It's me. And he says, Ta, where's the goat? It's you, it's me, nothing changed. You understand? That's the idea. It's the same thing. So this woman, the whole entire time, she's thinking one thing. I'm not going to be a in shackles of Aguna for the next 16, 20 years. I'm not going to do this. No way. Right? He's dead. No way. I'll do it. Right? So the second Shlomo HaMelech said, let's kill the baby. Right. Let's kill the baby. It was a reaction. Now it makes more sense. You understand? That's a pshat. That's where you see the wisdom. Who asked that question? That's where you see the wisdom. That's the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. He's able to bring out what is, you know, on the lave of the person. But that's a big yisoid, right? I don't know how we got into that, but that's a big yisoid. What's the lave of the person is going to come out. In birth, this is going to come out. In marriage, this is going to come out. You have a person who didn't work properly on his midas, you know. And so when the stakes were low and it was a roommate, you know, so like, whatever, you know. He could drop that. You know, I don't care that much about the roommate, right? But when it's going to be something that it's real, if it's there, if it's ingrained in you, that type of a gaiver, that type of a, it's, you know, it's going to be real. You're not going to be able. You know, I remember I had a shever brachas once of somebody that it was an old chavrus of mine, and the person that got up to speak, he said, let's say his name was Avram. So he said, oh, Avram is such a bugger. You know, the day that the door closes, they all say that, you know, then you'll find out the secrets. When the door closes here, right, there's no secrets. There's no secrets. Exactly who you see, that's who it is. Punkti got divorced 7 years ago, right? I don't know why or whatever, but it's still not true. There's no such thing. There's no person in the world. We don't know what it is, and we hope there's not that much when the door closes, right? But that's what is ingrained in you. It's going to come out. Right? So you have to just, you know, you have to uproot this right now. But anyways, let's talk about nice things. Okay, a few minutes. Good, yeah? Now you understand the answer? That's that. Okay. What? Good?
I heard Shlomo HaMelech was such a chacham, he's able to do surgery on the kid in half and still live.
Did he actually do surgery? That I don't know. I don't know. There are some things. It says that Shlomo HaMelech was able to dan with just smelling. Right? Chonish got corona, right? But he was able to just, the Chazal say, he was just able to smell, and he was able to just, they that judge. That was... What? Like smell it out. I don't understand this. It's some ruchniistic thing. What?
Why couldn't he read the forehead?
This is all good kasha. Like, clear, you know, Shlomo HaMelech had to... So it's mashman the psukim, the answer to this kasha. I think the Malbim is medayik this. Shlomo HaMelech, when he walked in, probably knew the answer, right? But I guess, you know, there's rules. You can't just say, you know, she's the one. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to do that. A lady came to Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe was told that the Rav had mattered her from Agunas after the war, and she wasn't in Aguna, right? So she went inside to Rav Moshe, she told Rav Moshe the story. She told Rav Moshe the story, and I'm sorry, and the husband came back. And the husband came back, so, you know, so this old child, if now are you allowed to stay with your husband, this, whatever, we got some ice. Anyways, so Rav Moshe told her to tell the story again. And Rav Moshe said to her, and Rav Moshe was an idle person, you know. Rav Moshe said, it's a sheker, you're saying a sheker. And she said, she started crying, and she said the story again. And Rav Moshe said, listen, you're a chakran, it's a sheker, okay? And then after a few minutes, she broke down, and she was, right? How was Rav Moshe able to do that?
What happened?
She made it up, because she thought her husband was dead. She wasn't a terrible person, but she thought her husband was dead. And she was toileted on a certain rav, and the whole thing was fake news. Right, so there you go. There are people that are able to look and say, you know, you're a chakran, right? Now, why couldn't Shlomo HaMelech do it? I guess in order for the psak, the Malbim is mashed like this. In order for the psak to be miskabel by the people that were there, you know, you have to remember Shlomo HaMelech was how old? He was 12 years old, right? He was before the bar mitzvah. Imagine he comes, you know, she comes in, she's a chakran. You know, it ain't gonna go very well, Right? So that's Mustama why he did it in this way. But you see, Klur, Shlom Melch knew the answer already. It's not something that I understand, obviously. This is just let me tell you nice stories. Right? Let me tell you a story. You know, in the Parsha, right, you talk about Lev, the whole Parsha, the greatest people in Klal Yisrael. The greatest people in Klal Yisrael were people that their heart was the heart of Klal Yisrael. I tell you a Maritika story. You know, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was saw in their pain, and just think about it. You know, it's an unbelievable thing to be able to care so much about somebody else. The Midrashim talk about how Moshe Rabbeinu would take the bricks and put them on his shoulder. This is real. This is not like a story. If you don't believe this, you're a goy. Right? This is real. This is a real thing that happened. It's not. So you have to. You know, I'm not. You know, your high school rebellion. They spoke against the basketball players and whatever. But just think about it for a minute. That guy on the wall, he doesn't care about you. He wouldn't do a thing for you. He wouldn't do a thing for you except for hurt you. Right? He's the dude that if you'd see him in the street, you would for sure cross the street. Right? Unless there's bigger ones on the other side of the street, right? But so they're right. The only person that you should give that value to are the people that would do anything for you, right? Which are, you all know that. They're Rebbeim and they're Tzaddikim and they're Gedolim. They'll do anything for you. Those are people that have a value. Those are people. So let me tell you, I have in the Kailal an Einikol of somebody who was a Menayil in Satmar. They told me an unbelievable story. Now, let me give you a background to this story. A little bit of a background, right? The Satmar Rebbe was very big into tzedakah, chesed. Anybody that would give the Satmar Rebbe money for himself would go out to tzedakah by the next day. Right? Satmar the tzaddikim had anhaga, a lot of tzaddikim had anhaga, not to keep money in their house overnight, because they felt it's already a breach in bitachin. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give them money, he'll give them money. So they don't need, you know, I need for that day and not more. So that means everybody knew, knock on the Satmar Rebbe's door, you know, and by 10 o'clock at night, knock on the door because he's getting rid of the money. You know, so there was a person that came to Satmar Rebbe's door. The person told the story was like a mile in Satmar. He was there. He knocked on the door by Satmar Rebbe, and the Satmar Rebbe answered the door. And this person starts crying and telling him the story. You don't know what's going on. I have to make a chasen for my daughter, and I don't have any money. The Satmar Rebbe, and he starts mamish krechting and telling him how bad it is. And then he tells him afterward, like, you know, and I didn't understand my matziv. My wife was nifteres, and you know, it's interesting how he's like going from small to worse. But my wife was nifteres. And Satmar Rebbe, when he heard that, he couldn't know, and he started to cry. Right? The people that were there, the Satmar Rebbe just started crying. Imagine somebody's knocking on the door. You know what it means? There's a certain peace inside of us that when somebody knocks on the door, we know this is going to cost money. Right? There's a little piece inside of us that, you know, and it's not like today, you know, you think like, look, if the tzaddikim will make one phone call and this and that. This is the Satmar Rebbe's money. This was in the 70s. I don't know if everybody was knocking down his door and, you know, so then he tells him, and I have such medical problems. And he starts telling him he has arthritis, halavai, that's the smallest problem. Right? He said, and they cut off my leg. He said, when the Satmar Rebbe heard that already, he just couldn't go right there. He almost like was fainting from the tsar. He said, okay, I can't anymore. So he says to Satmar Rebbe, I need your tears. Go bring me money. Ichtaf geld. Right? I need money. Satmar Rebbe went straight for the drawer, whatever drawer it is. Opened up the drawer, and whatever he was going to give, he gave it all. And he comes out, he gives it all. Satmar Rebbe was mamish. He was like shaking from the pain. Satmar is like derech agav, right? A lot of the, again, I hate to sound like your high school rebbe. Right? I also like watching a game. It's geschmack. I mean, now I can't because my wife will divorce me. But you understand, like, I understand there's a value in a geschmack in watching them. But to love them is insanity. Right? Nobody, if you would need money, would even push it spit on you. I'll have ice spit, right? But forget that. That's for your high school band. Anyways, so, you know, no, I also like watching, like, football.
I did it right, right? Right? I'm also a Ranger fan.
Anyways, so the... But so the Satmar Rebbe was like mamish, a weak person. And the Gabbai saw this. So the Gabbai comes in, he says, Rebbe, I just saw him. And the Satmar Rebbe was mamish shaking from the pain. Rebbe, I just saw him. He has legs. I just saw him. He walked out of here. So he just saw him walking out of here. I mean, the Satmar Rebbe was probably not looking down, but he has, because they came in, he told the Rebbe. The Rebbe told him, I have so much agus nefesh. The person, he doesn't have legs, he doesn't have a wife, he's making a shidduch, the kids don't have a mother. He runs outside. The guy's walking outside. He's walking.
you know, der Fleischiger, der Milchiger, you know. He's walking, so he says to the Sam Rebbe, he's walking, the Sam Rebbe says, oh, Baruch Hashem, oh, Baruch Hashem, oh, Baruch Hashem, oh, Baruch Hashem. Right. He's in so much pain. He was so schlemistic in somebody else's tsar. He just told him the guy's legs. So he says, Rebbe, Rebbe, another guy comes in because they saw the Sam Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I just saw him get into the car, right? And they tell what we get, what's on God, what money do we get? And his wife was sitting right there next to him, in the car. It wasn't even a mechitza, and Satmar, this is illegal, right? He wasn't even, his wife is right there. Oh, Baruch Hashem, yes, his wife wasn't Nifteris. Oh, Baruch Hashem, his wife wasn't Nifteris, his wife wasn't Nifteris. Right? So they said, Rebbe, maybe, right? You know, right? But you know, the next thing they're going to say, he doesn't need the parnosa. Oh, Baruch Hashem, he has a parnosa too. You know, but by the Rebbe, this was real. But because it was Leiv, was the Leiv of Klal Yisrael. By us, I'm not saying that we're holding on this madrega, but the concept that there's a person out there that when he heard this, he was, you know, he was all the more excited and besimcha that he's better and whatever. It's unbelievable. Such a story, right? So, everything, right? There's a great woman, Everton Kanievsky. This woman was a great woman. Her lave was the lave of Klal Yisrael. I just can't explain this, but what should I tell you? All right, I just, you know, there's no such thing by the goyim like this. You have to remember that. There's no such thing. By a goy, people would come to her. Nobody, she didn't know any of these people. They would tell the tsaris. She would start crying with them. She would hug them and kiss them. Do you understand that the goy doesn't know? You know this. You're used to this already. Just think about it for a minute. Can you imagine? If you go to a guy, just think about it for like a half a second. You go to a guy, a politician or whatever, anything, I don't know what, right? And you tell him your tsars, and he starts crying with you and hug you and kiss you. It doesn't exist by them. Consider yourself lucky. This is real. If you don't believe in God and Torah now, then you're not even a guy. You're a filthy, ugly one. You understand what I'm talking about here? This is the raya that Torah comes from Sinai, that there are people like this. So anyways, so I heard a story like this. There was, this is like, you know, there was a girl that was going up from Derech. She went off the Derech. And it was in my neighbor, in the Ramachalim. And so the story was that, and her mother was Nefteris. Her mother was Nefteris a few years later. She went slowly. What?
Did she have legs?
No, she has legs, this one. Yeah. So she slowly was going off the Derech. At the Shiva, she was sitting in, this was about 10 years ago, the story. At the Shiva, she was sitting in pants. You know, not so makubal in our
circles
or, you know, in our places. And Reverend Kanievsky walked in. Just listen, let me explain. You know, this is somebody that loves Jews. That's it. She loves Jews. She walked into the Shiva, and it was obviously pretty belate. That this girl on the side, not so interested, not so this, right? The story is more, there's a million stories about Reverend Kanievsky. There's something about this story which just gets me. She is at the Shiva. This is real. Let me explain. This is not like a Kirov expert trying to like figure out what's going to be the line and what, you know, that I'm not saying that's very important. That's great, right? But this is real. She comes into the Shiva. She was Menachem the people. She went one by one to the different girls, whatever. Obviously, she had some kind of a shaykhus. And she went over to this girl. And she said to her, "You're such a beautiful girl. You're such a beautiful girl," right? And that was all she said. "You're such a beautiful girl." And she meant it. Right? So she said to the Rebbe, "Lama Rabbanito Merita, why are you telling me this?" So she said, "Because you have to know that. You're such a beautiful girl." Right? So maybe if you'd be a little bit more tznias, you'd be even more beautiful. Even more beautiful. And she saw so much real. She saw this real. So much real. I heard the story from someone mamish in the family, the brother, mamish. It was so real. It wasn't like everybody else. You know, most of the people that walked into that Shiva probably said, "You're the one that killed your mother," right? Or at least that's what they were thinking with their faces, right? But she was so real. She had such a life. And she was machzer the tshuva. It's so much real, so much real, so much ahava, so much real. You know, it's you have to, that's what it means. Kamoicha. You know what v'hafta reicha kamoicha means? You can't shayich to love somebody the way you love yourself. It's not shayich. Kamoicha means not to say the things that I, you know, it wouldn't bother me, right? One day you're going to sign a ksuva with a woman, and when you sign that ksuva, you're going to be mashabed yourself to ninoig with her after echa kamaicha. With everybody else, we try. With your wife, you're going to be mashabed yourself, that you're going to, you know, I swear on the Bible that I'm going to with you. But what's kamaicha? There's so many things that are important to them that are not important to us. So kamaicha means kamai, that you have certain things that are important to you and you want other people to respect. So then, even those things that are not important to you by somebody else, just value it because it's important to them. Good? Understand what I'm saying? That's what it means, because it's not shaykh to love somebody the way you love yourself. You know, my father got corona this week. He's about a 70-year-old man. I'm nervous the whole time. You know, he's on oxygen, right? And it never dawned on me, and people know, you know, some people know, tell me them know, whatever. And it never dawned on me that, like, you know, until now when somebody got corona, so I called them, how are you, and whatever. That was the most, and I thought it was like the tzaddik ador. Right? And this week, people called me up and asked me, how's my father? And I was spoiled. I didn't realize it made me feel so good. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, you don't realize, it doesn't take much. It does, in Hebrew, how do you say pay attention? Sim lev. Give heart. That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is. Sim lev, a little bit of lev. That's as big as say. So what do we see today? We saw the chachma of Shlomo Melech, right? But that's not just he said in Shlomo Melech. You saw a bigger chachma. You saw, you better worry about what's going on in here. Because it's going to come out at times that you don't want it to come out. And you won't be able to stop it because that's what's going in your bloodstream. Right? That was one big yisayid you saw today. And then you saw that story at the Satmar Rebbe. I love that story. I love that story. You know why? Because a big fat balabas, like a schmack, a pregnant one, you know, he's going to hear that story and say, you know what? I also have a hard time giving the money in that case, right? But just remember there's a person out there that what's more important to him is that this guy has a wife and that this guy, he's got such a lave that he's so happy that this guy has a... I agree, that guy is mushless. And he'll come back like a little chihuahua, roof, roof, with a doggy sweater matching a woman that has the same doggy sweater who's not married and likes dogs. I'm asking him he's going to come back like that. That's not the point. But the fact that the Satmar Rebbe was able to have such a hava for this person that he has, oh, it's better, he has legs, right? Shabbos, guys.